Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, last week on the programme, I talked to Welshman Brian Robson, who had a mad story about his attempt to mail himself back home from Australia in a crate way back in the 1960s. He was helped in his endeavour by two Irish guys at the time who nailed him into the crate. Actually, it wasn't a crucifixion. Hold on a second now. They nailed the crate. He was just in there. Anyway, and all of these years later, Brian has written a book about his escapade and he's on a quest to find these Irish men. Well, I want to check in with Brian again. I said I would a week later. It's now a week later, just to find out how things have progressed. So, Brian, how you doing, Brian? Are you all right?
I'm doing fine, thank you, Dave. And a great hello to all your listeners in Dublin there.
And in the whole of Ireland, and in fact all over the world on the internet. Anyway, after all the coverage that your story received, has there been any result from that? Any news at all?
Yes. Some very good news. Some very good news.
Wow.
We've actually 100% located one of the people, and I've had a chat. I've had more than one chat, actually. And we're getting on like a house on fire, as if there wasn't 56 years since we last met. It's as if it was yesterday.
And can you tell us who that person is, or do they want to remain anonymous?
No, unfortunately. At this moment, he wants to remain anonymous. I can tell you a little about him, but I have to respect his privacy,
sure,
obviously, so I can't say too much, but I can tell you he's Irish, Dave, if that's any good.
there were two, John and Paul, right?
That's right, yes.
Okay, so which one did you find?
Paul.
Paul, okay. So tell me a little bit about Paul, whatever you're allowed to tell.
He's now a grandfather, and he has seven grandchildren. He actually is, believe it or not, although another report was slightly false on that. He's still living in Australia, but I can't tell you where or which city. It's not the same city. It's not Melbourne. He feels the same as me. It was a funny thing to do, but it paid off in the end.
It was.
Basically.
Okay, you didn't have enough money to get back home. You wanted to get back home to England, and you stowaway in a box on a plane that went from A to B in Australia and then onto a bigger plane that was meant to go all the way to London, but stopped off in every damn place in America, and you actually ended up in Los Angeles, and the CIA and the FBI were on your tail at that stage because they were going, what is this? Some stowaway, is it a terrorist or whatever you call it back in 1965 in a box? That was the story. Now, how did you know it was definitely him? I mean, the story's gone all over the world. It's everywhere. Like, I mean, how did you know it wasn't just somebody chancing the round?
You know, Dave, this sounds strange, but we had about 100 emails, and I was going through them slowly. And I had three or four questions that I wanted to ask each email writer.
Yeah.
And then I came across this one email and opened it, and I knew instantly. I can't tell you how. I just knew instantly that I was on the right track. And so I can tell you what the email said, actually.
Yeah.
It said, "Hiya, Brian. You're looking for John and Paul. I'm pretty good with a hammer." That's what he actually said. Mm-hmm. referring to his nailing down of the crate, you see, you know. So then I said, "Can you give me more information?" And he gave me some. This is in the next email. And then I asked him three or four questions, which really only the three of us would have known the answer. And he gave me even more information than I asked.
Okay, before they put you in the box, before you get into the box and you ask them, how well had you known John and Paul before that?
I'd known them for about 3 months, which, by Australian standards, that's quite a long time.
Yeah.
But about 3 months. They'd only just arrived in Australia, say 3 months before, or just over. We knew each other well, but from chatting, you know, just talking and chatting every night, every evening, I should say, constantly. And I was rather pleased. I can also tell you something else about him.
Yeah.
He hadn't been in Australia when he was recruited, is not the word, when he was conscripted into the Australian Army and sent to Vietnam.
Oh.
And he was quite seriously wounded in Vietnam and then returned to Australia. And, you know, the reason also that he didn't reply or they didn't reply to my initial letters was because immediately the whole thing broke out or blew up. They both instantly moved to a new address and didn't leave forwarding addresses. That was to avoid the press and all the publicity and everything else. So that was the reason why I lost touch with them. Basically, you know, I didn't know where they were and they didn't know where I was.
I know you don't want to give too much away, too much information about Paul Away, but did he say what part of Ireland he was from back in the 1960s?
If you don't mind, Dave, I'd rather not say.
Yeah, sure, yeah? Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, well, did it feel like connecting with an old friend again, or does it seem was it a stranger meeting a stranger?
No, absolutely the first one. It was exactly as if we'd known each other all these years and, you know, communicated all these. It was fantastic. It was really, and his wife is a wonderful person. She's also Irish, by the way. She is absolutely wonderful. So we're getting on like a house on fire, quite honestly.
And did Paul ever come back to Ireland at all? I mean, this is an Australian story from 65 and he's in Australia now. Was he back here at all?
Yes, he was. And he actually spent 2 years back in Ireland with some of his family. He brought some of his family back. Yes, he spent 2 years in Ireland before he returned to Australia. He's got an Australian passport and everything now, you know, so he can leave and go in whenever he wants. But yes, he had a wonderful time in Ireland, and it was the first time his family had ever seen snow because it was during the winter that when they arrived.
Very good. Okay, and just one thing about like the actual being in Ireland and then going back to Australia, etc. I mean, the guy is doing well now, is he? He's doing fine, is he?
He's retired, actually. He rather like myself. He doesn't have particularly good health. But he's making the best of it, and he is having a good time. He's got his family, so consequently, you know, it's all family, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Okay. So the second guy, then, are you hopeful of finding John?
We both are. When I say we both are, I mean Paul and I are both hopeful because they have lost touch as well. So we're hopeful. More on that in the future, perhaps. I really can't say it.
Yeah, more on that in the second volume, because we're talking here about The Crate Escape. Oh, it's the book by Brian Robson, and it's on sale on the publisher's website, which is austinmcauley.com. Brian, it's good. I'm so glad that it's worked out, because as I say, this story has gone around the world in the same way as it did in 1965 go around the world, but this time with a very kind of... it ended well in 65, didn't it? But I still can't believe
it. Oh, yes.
I can't believe you survived it, frankly.
Well, even I find it difficult to believe it nowadays. But to be perfectly honest, I must say, even in 65, everybody was wonderful. I made so many friends over this little thing, which has happened again, as you say now. And I think it hasn't gone further. It's gone about the same. It's in, at the moment, it's all over about four countries. Hmm. It's on radio, TV, in newspapers, magazines. It's quite unbelievable, really, Dave.
It really is. And the CIA and the FBI involved as well in back in 65. Anyway, listen, Brian, good. I'm very glad to hear now that it's sort of going well. It's not over yet. There's more to this story, I'd say. But The Crate Escape is the book that's out now, which you've written. And as I say, it's on sale now. Brian, thank you so much once again for talking to us on the programme. And maybe a third time if John surfaces or whatever.
Let's keep our fingers crossed and hope so, shall we?
Indeed. Thank you very much. See you, Brian. Good luck. Take it easy.
Thank you. Take care. Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.